Okay, Yudchesamid Beis, Omer Abulazar, Omer of Hoshia. So this is Sugya of Bikurim. So let's begin by opening up the Chumash, and we're in Dvarim Chaf Vav, and this will give us a little bit of background. As you all know, I don't have to tell you this, the mitzvah of Bikurim has two parts to it. One is to bring the Bikurim into the Azara and place them on the Mizbeach. And the other is the Kriya Saparsha of Arami Oved Avi. And in fact, our Mishnah at the beginning of this Perek, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, says that if you eat Bikurim before you read the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi, which you see if the Psukim, the Parsha of Arami Oved actually splits into two parts. Pasuk Gimel, V'yamarta Elav Higadati Ayom, etc. Alright, and then we're going to have something called V'lokach HaKoen HaTenem V'yodecha V'inicho Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha, and that's what's called Hanocha Al Gavi Mizbeach. So there is some sort of declaration of Higadati Ayom, which is one pasuk, that precedes the Hanocha Al Gavi Mizbeach. But the main bulk of the Kriya starts after the Hanocha, that's in Pasuk He, and that's Avrami Oved Avi, which, let's count how many psukim we have. He, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud. Okay, so you have all the way up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's the Kriya of the Parash of Avrami Ovi. Now, Pasuk Yud Aleph is going to be a very important Pasuk, because as we'll soon see, that's going to tell us when you can bring Bikurim, which means that you can only bring Bikurim up to, but not beyond, the time of Simcha. Simcha is always identified with Chag HaSukkos. So if, let's say, the kickoff of Bikurim is Shavuos, then the end point will be Chag HaSukkos. Okay, and that's important. And then if you take a look at Pasuk Yud, if you go back a little bit, there again it says, V'inachto lifnei Hashem Elokecha, which sounds like a duplication of V'hinicho in Pasuk Dalet, V'hinicho lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. And the Gemara is going to make a big deal about the word V'hinicho in Pasuk Dalet as opposed to the word V'inachto in Pasuk Yud.
Tense difference though, right?
Okay, well, let's see it as we go through it, Aaron. I just wanted to give you just a slight orientation on what goes on again. So let's reiterate what we've learned in the past. According to Rabbi Shimon, the Tana Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva agrees to him, if you eat the Bikurim before the Kriya Saparsha, you get Malkus for that. And that's called in the Lashon HaShas Kriya Ma'akeves. So far so good? Kriya Ma'akeves. Chachamim disagree. They hold Kriya Ein Ma'akeves. All you need is Hanocha, and then you're allowed to eat the Bikurim. So now we're up to Omer Rav Lazar, Omer Rav Hoshia, or Hoshaya maybe, Bikurim Hanocha Ma'akeves Bahen, Kriya Ein Ma'akeves Bahen. So this statement, in the name of Hoshaya, reflects the sheet of the Chachamim, that although there's a mitzvah to read the parasha of Arami Ovid Avi, nevertheless, the achila is not suspended, it's not withheld until after you fulfill Kriya. That's called Kriya Ein Ma'akeves Bahen. So you're allowed to eat the Bikurim even before you fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya. And what I tried to suggest, and I think we mentioned this last time, is that Bikurim divides into two parts. One is what I call the Chovas Cheftza, one is the Chovas Gavra, meaning, as far as the Bikurim itself is concerned, you need Hanocha. And the Hanocha is Ma'akev, meaning you can't eat the Bikurim until after the Hanocha. But as far as the Chovas Gavra is concerned, but that has nothing to do with the Peros, the Bikurim themselves, there you need Kriya. But Kriya, since it's not inherent in the Cheftza, it's not a Chovas Cheftza, it's only a Chovas Gavra, it's not Ma'akeves, in other words, the Achila of the Bikurim depends upon the Cheftza. Okay, that's just what we did, what I think we did last time, if my memory serves me well.
Is this that we plan on reading it and we just haven't yet.
You're right.
Or that we don't even plan on reading it.
Well, now the Gemara is going to go into this whole discussion about what happens if you plan on reading it, but it now becomes impossible to read it. Do you remember that case? In other words, the reading only extends up to a certain date. And if you go beyond that date, which is Hanukkah, we'll see why, then even though, as far as your afresh is concerned, when you set up the Bikurim, you had a Chiyuv Kriya, but now the situation has changed and it's impossible to fulfill that Kriya. And even though Rav Hoshaya here says, Ein Kriya Makeves, because Kriya, as we said, is only a Chovas Gavra, but nevertheless, if there's no possibility of Kriya, because the Chiyuv Kriya, you know, was Chal, but now the Kiyum Kriya elapsed and it terminated, then it would be Makeves. Mm. That's what we're going to see in a minute. First, we're going to postulate a stira. We can present a stira here between two statements of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rav Hoshaya. So, Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, Va Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rav Hoshaya, Hifrish Bikurim Kodim Lechag. And what does the word Chag mean? Sukkot, right? Chag always means Sukkot. So we're talking about Hafrasha before Sukkot. And if there was Hafrasha before Sukkot, then you will bring, if you let's assume that your intention is to bring these Bikurim before Sukkot, which means that you will be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikurim Bishleimut, but then lo and behold, he didn't bring the Bikurim before the Chag, with all due respect to his good intentions, the Avra Lehem HaChag, now it's past Sukkot, is Yerokvu. Yerokvu means you have to throw it out, there's no possibility of eating the Bikurim. Why not? L'chore, he was Mafresh Bikurim at a time when he's obligated to do so. And so what if it's now after the Chag? So the Gemara says, my love, the reason for this is Mishum Delo Motzi Lemikre Alehem. When he was Mafreshit, before the Chag, he was Chayev in the mitzvah of Kriya. But now, after Chag HaSukkot, there's no possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya. Why not? Because again, if you go back to the Pasuk, in this case, Pasuk Yud Aleph, so the Gemara derives from Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, V'samachta b'chol atov, and that means that the entire reading of the parasha depends on a zman of simcha, which means up to but not beyond Sukkot. Now, so from, it goes like this, from Shavuos until Sukkos, which is called zman simcha, is then you can be mevi v'kore. But after Sukkot, you're mevi v'eino kore. Now, remember I said to you before, the Chanukah is the deadline. What's the relevance of Chanukah to Bikurim? Chanukah is the latest time for Havas Bikurim. So Havas Bikurim with Kriya begins with Shavuos and ends with Sukkos. Havas Bikurim without Kriya is after Sukkos, before Chanukah. After Chanukah, there's no possibility whatsoever of even Havas Bikurim.
Why is that?
You want to jot this down? I have a pencil here, but it doesn't write that well. Let me get you I'll get you a pen in case it writes better. So again, there are three halachas here. One is the halacha of, you can really make a little chart if you're good at charts. One is Hava and the other is Kriya. And for Hava, you have the period of time from Shavuos until Chanukah. That's called Havas Bikurim. Now, if you want to add Kriya, it's from Shavuos up until Sukkos, but not beyond Sukkos. Okay. Now, if you were mafrish the Bikurim before Sukkot, then you have a chiyuv of Kriya. But if you didn't bring the Bikurim until after Sukkot, so although you were mafrish before Sukkot, then you have to throw it in the garbage. And the reason for that is because after Sukkot there's no possibility of Kriya. However, you still chayev in Hava up until Chanukah. Now, why? What is the reason for these dates? So again, the reason for the deadline for Kriya as Chag HaSukkot is because of this pasuk v'samachta b'chol atov that we saw. The reason for the deadline of Chanukah Favas Bikurim is because the pasuk says Asher Tovi Me'artzecha. Where is that pasuk? Let's take a look over here. And then in the second pasuk base, it says, and the Gemara, or the Sefri actually darshins, what does it mean, mei artzacha? Calls manche mitzuyim al pnei artzacha. So Chanukah is ready, the winter time, and there's no wheat growing, or no fruits that are growing, b'artzecha. So that's the end of the end period for Havas Bikurim. So let's say you were maybe Bikurim after Sukkot, but before Chanukah, you would be maybe v'eino kori. And why couldn't you read? Because it says v'samachta b'chol atov, and for that the deadline is Sukkot. So in the light of that introduction, let's go back to the Gemara. According to Rav Yoshia, if you were mafrish bikurim before the Chag, and now it's after the Chag, so you and I would have said that now he should bring the bikurim and fulfill the mitzvah of Havah, but just omit the Kriya Saparsha. Instead, to our surprise, he says Yerokvu. So Yerokvu means throw it in the garbage. There's no possibility of any mitzvah. When then, according to Rav Oshi, would be the only possibility of Mevi Vieno Kore, that would be a case where he was mafresh his Bikurim after the Chag. So what? Why is it worse if he was mafresh his Bikurim before the Chag, V'yavar Leim HaChag? So Gemara says, my love, L'chor, if he was mafresh Bikurim before the Chag, he has to throw it out after the Chag, Mishum Delo Motzi L'mikri Aleihem. He cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Parshas Arami Ovid Ovi, V'isalkedaitoch Kriya Ein Ma Keves Bahen Amayi Rokfu. We just finished saying in the name of Rav Hoshia that Ein Kriya Ma Keves Bahen, so why do you have to throw it out if it's after Sukkos? And the Gemara answers, Kidder Abzera, the Amar Abzera, Kol Aroy Lebila, is Ein Bila Ma Keves Bo, V'kosha Ein Aroy Lebila, Bila Ma Keves Bo. So what's the principle of Rav Zera? The Gemara says in Masechet Menachos that you can only bring in one kli shishim esronim. So let's say a person took upon himself in a dove of shishim v'echad esronim. That's called soles mincha. So then in such a case he has to be mechalik, he has to divide them into two kelim. Why does he have to divide them into two kelim when he takes upon himself to bring 61? Because he won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of blila in one keli because he has more than 60 esronim. So the Gemara right away asks, but wait a minute, we have a principle, ein blila makeves, that in a korban mincha you don't need to do blila, this mixing. And Rabbi Zera says, yeah, you don't need to do the mixing, the blila, but tzarech lios efshar livlo. Right, that's what he calls it. Kol she royal abila, it has to be royal abila. And 61 esronim in one kli is not royal abila. If it's not royal abila, then bila ma kevispo. So the way we would explain it is that there's something called the chovas gavra, which is called blila, and the chovas gavra is not ma'akiv in the gufa shel karbon. But what is inherent in the karbon, it has to be royal abila. And if we apply that to bikurim, we say the following: when he was mafresh his bikurim before Sukkos, He was Mischayev the Kriya, so the Chovas Kriya merged. That Chovas Kriya is linked up to the Heftz of the Bikurim itself. To what extent? Not to the extent that he has to do the Kriya, that's a Chovas Gavra, but at least that the Heftz of the Bikurim have to be Re'uyim the Kriya. And once you pass Chag HaSukkos, then the Bikurim are no longer Re'uyim the Kriya. And that's called Kolar Eino Roy Leblila Blila Makevismo, and therefore he has to let them rot. So if he was Mafresh Bikurim after the Sukkos, it never was Chayev in Kriya. And therefore, if it was never Nitvas in the Chayev Kriya, then Ein Kriya Makevismo, and he's maybe Vein Kore up until Chanukah. But if he was Mafresh Bikurim before Sukkos, so now the Cheftz is Roy LeKriya. Kriya now becomes related, connected to the Cheftz of the Bikurim, such that you need royal Kriya. Once we pass Sukkot, it's no longer royal Kriya, and therefore Kriya Makevispo, just like in the case of Eina royal Blila, Blila Makevispo. So the Mele comes out that there's no stira here. On the one hand, I can accept the first statement of Rav Hoshaya that Ein Kriya Makevispo. On the other hand, I can accept the fact that Ovra Leves HaChag is Yirokvu. Why? Because it's not Royal Kriya. So we need the Cheftza Royal Kriya. We have something very similar in the midst of Yibum. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but in the midst of Yibum, so there has to be a Kriya of Parshas Yibum. And if the Yavam is not Royal Kriya, is then there's no possibility of Yibum. If he has the possibility of Kriya, means he's not mute, but then Ein Kriya Makevispo. And the Yibum is Chal to be Matir, the Eishes HaMes HaChutza, even without Kriya. But if the person is mute, and he doesn't have the ability to speak, is then we say it's Ein Royal Kriya, is then Kriya Makevispo.
Is this the same also as... if you're going in the mikvah,
yeah,
and you hold your
yeah, thanks.
That you hold your lips closed, but your teeth open, so that it's roy to go in. But it's the same idea.
If you tighten your lips very hard, then it's ain't a roy lebias mayim. I think it's called.
Yeah,
you need roy lebias mayim. Right. Right. Well, by matzah you need roy leteima. So if you take the matzah and you cook it, and it's no longer roy leteima, is then teima makevispo. So that's what we have. In terms of Rav Hoshaya. And we're okay?
Yeah.
We're okay. But now, the Gemara says, we have a problem with Rav Asi. Because Rav Asi, on the one hand, had a tradition in the name of Rav Yochanan, and on the other hand, he himself asked Rav Yochanan a question and got an answer. And the answer that he heard from Rav Yochanan, l'chora, is a double contradiction to what he passed on, he transmitted as a tradition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So let's go through these statements. Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov Masni le kid Rabbi Asi om Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, exactly what we just had in the name of Rav Hoshea was passed on in tradition from Rav Asi, who was a Talmud Muvak of Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Ein Kriya Makevis. But v'kashalei d'Rabbi Yochanan d'Rabbi Yochanan. However, we have a stira from one statement of Rabbi Yochanan to the other. Why? Umi om Rabbi Yochanan bikurim hanoch makevis ben kriya ein makevis ben. In other words, you bring the bikurim into the azora and you place them on the mizbech, and only after you place them on the mizbech are you allowed to eat them, even though you haven't read the parash of Arami Avidovi. Fine. Boy, minei Rav Asi, mi Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi asked the following question, Rav Yochanan. Bikurim, me'emasai mutarim lekohanim. And the answer that we anticipate is that the hetish should be chal once there was hanoch al gabi mizbeach, not before, and even before Kriya, because ain't Kriya makevispo. But to our surprise, Omar le, what was the response of Rav Yochanan? That haru'uyim lekriya, in other words, if he brought the Bikurim before Sukkos, right? Before this man Simcha, is then When does it become mutter? When did the bikur become mutter? Mishakara aleihem. From the moment that he fulfilled the mitzvah of kriya, obviously he's maintaining that kriya makeves bo. That until the kriya is implemented, there's no het to bikurim. And then he says, v'she'en ruyim l'kriya. But if he brought the bikurim after sukkis, then misharo pnei abayis, which is a phrase that means that he brought it into the azara. Now, the significance, there's a great significance here to this statement of misharo pnei habayis, because what it means is that even before the hanocha, there's a mitzvah hanocha, you don't have to wait for hanocha in order to eat the bikurim. All you need is re'ias pnei habayis, which is knisa la'azara. So now we have a double steer, akasha. There's a double steer. Number one, kriya, because you quoted the name of Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yoshia, that ain't kriya makevis. But here he says that if it's not royal kriya, meaning if he brought the bikurim after sukkis, is then he can't eat the bikurim. So you see that kriya is makevis. How can Rav Asi say in the name of Yochanan Kriya lo makevis? And secondly, kasha hanocha hanocha, because Rabbi Yochanan is quoted as saying that hanocha makevis bo, but yet in his response to Rav Asi's query, he told him that mishi kones lazar misharo pnei abayis, meaning you don't even need hanocha. Now, Rabosai, the question that, how should I say, the curiosity of my mind at least, the question that arises in my mind is the following. Are these two separate issues? Issue number one with regard to Kriya, and issue number two with regard to Hanocha? Or is it all one issue? I'll explain to you what I mean. Look at the next few lines of the Gemara. The Gemara reconciles this contradiction by saying the following. Kriya, Kriya, Lokasha, Harabi Shimon, Harabana. Does when Rav Yochanan responded to Rav Asi's question and he said that without the possibility of Kriya, you cannot eat the Bikur because Kriya Makevis Bo, he was reflecting the Shita of Rav Shimon. He himself, though, Rav Yochanan, doesn't accept the Shita of Rav Shimon, but rather he holds that ain't Kriya Makevis Bo. So again, when he responded to Rav Asi, that if it's Ruyim L'Kriya, it's Dafka Mishakar Oleyem, that was reflecting the Shita of Rav Shimon. Then the Gemara says, Hanocha, Hanocha, Nami Lokasha, Harab Yehuda, Harabana. All of a sudden new names appear. There's another machlokas about Hanocha, with Hanocha's Makevispo. So when Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rav Asi's question, and he told him that all you need is Re'ias pnei abayis, and you don't need hanochal gabi mizbeach. That was reflecting the Shita Rabbi Yehuda that we're going to learn about now in the next piece of Gemara. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that you don't need hanochal gabi mizbeach. So the Ritva points out over here that within the context of Rabbi Yochanan, we're seeing that he gives an answer to Rav Asi, based on two different Tanoim. With regard to the question of Kriya, he gives him an answer based on Rabbi Shimon, which means that Kriya is Makeves. With regard to the issue of Hanocha, he gives him a response based on Rabbi Yehuda, that Hanocha ain't a Makeves. And the Ritva wants to know, how can he do such a thing? How can he, you know, give two responses that are mutually exclusive because one is based on Reb Shimon and the other is based on Reb Yehuda?
But they're talking about different things.
Oh, says the Ritva, they're talking about two different things. One issue is whether or not Kriya is Makevis, and the other issue is whether or not Hanach is Makevis. So what I understood from this Ritva, and to me it was a great Chiddush, is that you don't say that if Kriya is Makevis, then certainly Hanach is Makevis.
They're
two independent issues, meaning it's very strange. I mean, in my mind, it was a big chiddush. What we're saying is that I can accept Rabbi Yehuda that as soon as there's a Re'ias Pnei Abayis, he brought it into the Azor, he hasn't placed it on the Mizbeach, that's enough to allow Kriya, but now I can maintain, like Reb Shimon, that Kriya Makevas, and I must have Kriya. See, I always thought that Kriya is the stage after Hanacha, and once it's Hanacha, Gabi Mizbeach, then you can debate back and forth whether you need Kriya. And if you hold you need Kriya, it's Kriya on top of and beyond Hanacha. Then, you see from this Ritva, not like that. There's one issue about what do you do with the Peros, and that's whether or not you just bring them into the Azor, or you have to go a step further, put them on, you know, place them on the Mizbeach. And then there's another issue as far as what the Gavra has to do, and is his Kiyum Chovas Kriya absolutely indispensable as far as the Peros themselves are concerned. I can maintain that maybe until the Bailim fulfill their Chiyuv of Kriya, then you can't eat the Peros, and that's Reb Shimon. At the same time, if you ask me what Maisa is absolutely critical in the Bikurim in order to be Matir the Achila, the answer might be like Reb Yehuda, that all I need is Rias Pnei Abayis followed by Kriya, and we're going to skip the step of Hanacha. Again, I'm not denying that Hanacha is a mitzvah. What I'm asking is it's how great and how significant of a mitzvah is it? Does it have the power of suspending the heter achila? It may be that you require Hanacha as a mitzvah, but it doesn't suspend and hold back the heter achila. For that, all I need is Knisa Lazara. Which is fascinating into itself. I would love, you know, if we were learning Kodshim, it would be a great a research project to figure out where in Kodshim do we find this kind of halacha of Re'iyas Pnei HaZara. I'll give you an example. In the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, in order to fulfill the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, you have to show up in the Azara. Or for example, there's a mitzvah Hishtachava. Once you enter into the Azara, you have a Chovas Hishtachava. A Tommy is not let enter into the Azara. A Kachi Kachim, we have to enter the Azara in order to be Matar Achil, but then you have to wait for Zrika, with the exception of Ola, which doesn't have a head to Zrika. So that's why I'd love to know, like, you know, in a conceptual basis, imagine in your mind that you bring the Bikurim into the Azara. At that moment, something changes in the Bikurim. And the Bikurim now become Mutar Malachila, according to Rabbi Yehuda. You haven't even fulfilled the mitzvah of Hanacha. That's fascinating. But anyway,
according to that, you're saying that Hanacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a mitzvah that's not Malachi.
Correct.
Could it be fulfilled after Kriya?
I think so. I'm from Kos Makaren.
After Kriya, it's done.
Again, because again, listen carefully, according to the Ritva, we're combining Rabbi Yehuda with Shimon, which means I brought it into the Azara. I still can't eat it because I hold like Rav Shimon and I need Kriya. So what's going to happen is I don't need Hanacha. I'm going to switch around the whole order now. A is Knisa Lazar. B is Kriya Saparsha. And C is Hanacha as a separate mitzvah.
No, but it can also be that after Kriya, it's done. That you missed your chance to do Hanacha.
That I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that the Kriya itself undermines the mitzvah of Hanacha, but maybe there is such a thing. But as far as the Heter Achilas HaBikurim is concerned, it's a fascinating thing. I need A plus B, Knisa Lazar, what he calls Rias Pnei Abayis, and Kriya Saparsha. That's what comes out according to the Ritva. That was, in my mind, a big chiddush. Now, how does Rabbi Yehuda come up with this strange shita that just bringing it into the Azor is enough to be matir? Disanya, my Rabbi Yehuda, Disanya we learned in the Brice, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, now again, we go. Remember I spoke to you about the seeming repetition, because in Pasuk Dalet it says V'nicho, and in Pasuk Yud it says V'nachto. Now Rabosai, when you see something in Kodshim that repeats itself, should that bother you or not? What? No, it doesn't bother you. I'll tell you why. Because in Kodshim, there are always two halachas. There's one halacha of a mitzvah, and then there's another halacha of likuva, that is absolutely indispensable. And how do we determine whether it's only a mitzvah or it's indispensable? The answer is if it's repeated by the Torah. When the Torah repeats it, that teaches me that's likuva. So if I assume that this is a repetition of Hanacha, then what the Torah is teaching me is that Hanacha is ma'akev. And without Hanocha al-Gabi Mizbeach, you can't eat the Bikurim. Okay? Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, no, this is not a repetition, because one pasuk says v'nicho and the other pasuk says v'nachto, and they're fundamentally different one from the other.
That seems to be a common thing earlier on, that you can only anytime it mentioned like don't do this again, then it means that you have to, that the Eidim have to give Azara, right? Earlier on, we needed a second mentioning of the Lotasa.
Well, what I remember, I don't remember this business about the Eidim, Aaron, that I don't remember. What I do remember is that you needed a Torah Nazara,
and an Onish.
Right. That I do remember.
Right. So it's like a double...
Right. But what we're saying here is that when the Torah requires something in Kodshim and repeats itself, it's telling you that it's Likuva. It's absolutely indispensable. So is this a case of repetition or not? Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, it's not a repetition. Why? Because what does v'nachto mean? This is in Pasuk Yud, the second Pasuk. Zotnufa. This is not, as we understand it, a mitzvah of Hanoch al Gabi Mizbeach, but rather tnufa, meaning that what happens is the owner of the fruits, together with the Kohen, they lift up the Bikurim, and they lift it in four different directions, north, east, west, and south, and then one's up and one's down, so six different directions. It's kind of like what we know from Nanuim of Lulav. You might argue against me that maybe I should take this pasuk literally meaning Hanocha. He says, no. Kishu Omer, if you go back to the first pasuk, which is pasuk Dalid, v'lokach ha-koin ha-tenev yodecha, and then he says, v'hinicho lifnei mizbach Hashem olkecha. What does v'hinicho mean? Harei hanocha omer. That's hanocha. Now we fast forward to pasuk Yud, and there it doesn't say v'hinicho, but b'meh ani mekayim in pasuk Yud, v'hinachto, zot nufa. Now, what's the difference between v'hinicho, which means to place it, and v'hinachto? V'hinachto means to guide it. Okay, he says here on the bottom that the word v'hinachto...
But it's in the same...
Oh, here it is. V'hinachto means lahanchot. Do you remember that pasuk where it speaks about the Anani HaKavod, Lahanchosam es HaDerech? What was the purpose of the Anani HaKavod? What does it mean, Lahanchos? Even in modern Hebrew, I say, I give you Hanchayot. What does Hanchayot mean? Like directions, right? Like if you buy a medication here in Israel, you look in the small print, and they give you Hanchayot. You know, take it twice a day, before the meal, after the meal, during the meal.
But then if that's the case, then the person is being commanded to guide, but the Kohen's the one doing the guiding.
Right.
So it's a little, it doesn't read so right. Because it's saying that the person who brought the fruit should do the guiding.
Not necessarily. It says, V'lokach ha-Kohen atena biyodecha, v'inicho, and he's guiding you in this tnufa. That's how Rabbi Yehuda is learning it. Whereas we're going to soon see that the Chachamim reject Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold the v'nicho means to take it and place it on the Mizbeach. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That was Pasuk Dalet. Excuse me. I stand corrected. Let's go to Pasuk Yud. The Machlokas Shin Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim is not in Pasuk Dalet. That's clearly Hanocha. The Machlokas is in Pasuk Yud when he says v'hinachto. V'hinachto, and he shall guide him. So what does it mean, he shall guide him? The answer is that the Kohen puts his hands underneath the Israel's hands and guides him in the six directions of Tnufa. That's how Rabbi Yehuda interprets the pasuk.
Does that mean that that's where Rabbi Yehuda learns that the Kohen needs to guide him?
Correct. And that's guiding him within the context of what mitzvah? Tnufa. Is Memela going to Rabbi Yehuda, how many psukim command you in Hanoch al Gabi Mizbeach? Only one. And anything that in Kodshim that's only one is not Likuva. Nefanocha eina ma'keves.
Does that mean that Hanicho or Tnufa is now ma'akev? Because there are two sources for it. There's this one, and I'm assuming the original source. There must be another source for it.
I don't know. Hold on. Maybe we'll see that in a minute. I don't know. So let's just, again, I just want to read the Gemara. So he says, V'nachto zot tnufa. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm just reviewing what I have here on my page. There are no two commands on Hanocha, and therefore Hanocha is not Makebis. Whereas the Rabbanon, they don't derive Tnufa from this Pasuk, and therefore this Pasuk is a reference to Hanocha. Now the Torah has commanded us in Hanocha not once, but twice. And that engenders activates the principle that applies to Kachim in general, that whenever the Torah repeats itself, it's teaching us that it is Le'ikuva. Now you asked me, where do we derive Tnufa from? Just one second. Okay, so I don't have the answer to your question right now. I just don't want to hold this up because, as I said, we want to...
So it's part of the Gemara that he uses one word for waving and one word for placing, and he says neither are essential.
Oh, he says that? So which pasuk are we looking at?
It
says, the Nachto, verse... This pasuk 10, the pasuk Yud, the Nachto. Right, but Aaron's asking me, where is the source for Tnufa?
Meaning, like, is this the source for Tnufa?
Yeah. Well, it can't be according to the Chachamim, because again, the Chachamim are saying that this word Vinachto is a reference to Hanocha. So you're asking me, where is the source for
a different source for it?
For Tnufa, and that, yeah, and there definitely is. I just don't know what it is right now.
So there must be a place called Tnufa. Otherwise, we'd know it as Hanifa.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Just again, I can take 10 minutes and give you an answer, but we meet once a week and we're trying to finish Masechta, so let's leave it for the time being. I'm sure it's here in one of the notes, but okay, let's go on.
I have a note.
You have a note?
Also read, well, Rabbi Yehuda reads the word Hinachto as though it was vowelized in Hinachto.
Right. That we discussed.
Vowelized as in you shall point it. So that's how he's like.
Right, but we're asking now according to Chachamim, because Chachamim says that the Vinachto refers to Hanoch al Gav Mizbeach. So where's the source for Tnufa? Oh, what pasuk is that?
It's later in the Gemara.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. So we'll get it.
But you don't remember when we went.
In fact, the Gemara, Man Tana de Polagal later of Yehuda. Who argues with Rabbi Yehuda and holds that Hanocha Makeves? The Gemara answers Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov he. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa. And this Braisa is authored by Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Braisa starts with the Pasuk Dalet. V'lokach ha-kohen atenem yodecho. And this is Limeid ala bikurim sheteunim Tnufa. Okay, just one second.
But the Gemara's not explaining.
Yeah, I know the Gemara's going to explain, but just I'm trying to figure out this. I'm getting stuck here with a certain mathematical calculation, because we just finished saying that the Chachamim hold that Hanocha Makeves because the Torah repeated Hanocha twice. Now you're telling me the Velok Hakona Hakoin. Oh, I see. Oh, beautiful.
He takes the double Hanacha and he splits it up. He says, one's Tanufa and one's Hanacha and neither are Ma'at.
Right.
So Rabbi Elazar says, no. Tanufa comes from Yad Yad. This is a double Hanacha. It's Ma'at.
Correct. So basically, what you have to do is, and this is what I didn't realize, in Pasuk Dalet, you see there's an Asnachta under Miyadecha. Mm-hmm. In other words, what you do is here you divide the Reish and the Seif into two parts. The first part, V'loch HaKoyin HaTenem Yodech, is going to refer to Tnufa. And V'nicho Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha, that's going to refer to Hanocha. And you take that V'nicho and you put it together in Pasuk Yud V'nachto, which according to Chachamim, or Rav Lozman Ben Yaakov, is a repeat of Hanocha Gav Mizbech, and therefore you come to the conclusion that Hanocha is Likuva. Now you're asking me, but wait a minute. If Pasuk Yud is not referring to Tnufa. So now we come with your question. So what is the source for Tnufa? And the answer is the ratio of Pasuk Dal, V'lokach HaKohen Atena Miyodecha. That's going to lead us to the Gzer Shav Yad Yad that we're about to learn. Okay?
That means that...
So again, the critical point... What do you say?
That means that Tnufa is not Makev. Because there's only one source for it.
L'chora. Right.
But again... That the idea of the double Lashon... If it's double, this is the way Tosis explains it, if it's double, then it's Ma'akev. If it's single, it might be Ma'akev, it might not be. The converse isn't true.
Okay, but no, you're asking me if tnufa is ma'keves. So you see, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that vehinachto is in pasuk yud is a source for tnufa. Now you have a loka koim ten of yadecha.
But does he also hold the yadecha?
Maybe. Why not? You know, that, then maybe tnufa should be ma'keves. Uman tana de polga later of Yehuda of Elizabeth and Yaakov the Sanya the loka coin and tell me your death leave it I'll be kum shtunim tnufa divre Rabbi Elizabeth and Yaakov. And therefore, according to Rabbi Elizabeth and Yaakov, he's not willing to derive tnufa from the pasuk vihi nachto, that's pasuk yud, and he needs the pasuk dalid, and therefore, if just 1 second, if he derives snufa from that pasuk, then he's more, although again I don't see a priori why he's forced to do so, but then he's a little bit more open to say that the vinachto in pasuk yud is not referring to tnufa. So I'm inclined to think that you were right, Aaron, and I was wrong. I thought that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, this pasuk v'lokach koyin k'tenu midech is referring to tnufa. Well, I don't think that that's so. I think it's that the chiddush is according to Rabbi Elazar Yaakov that v'lokach koyin k'tenu midech is referring to tnufa, and therefore I don't need the pasuk v'nachto for tnufa, and therefore it's coming to teach me the hanocha makeves for the double thing. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he needs vihinachto for tnufa. So he's going to do somersaults in the air to convince us that vihinachto is a reference to tnufa. And why does he need vihinachto? Because he doesn't know that v'lok ha'koin atenem yadech is a reference to tnufa. So he needs to find the source for tnufa. Okay, again, we're going way...
Nothing prevents him from using it though, right? I mean...
I'm going nuts here. Okay. By time of the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, why does he insist that v'loka hakoin atenem yadecha is a reference to tnufa? Again, I insist right now, Rav Osai, that v'loka hakoin atenem yadecha al-piderech ha-pshat is not a reference to tnufa, but rather Cohen takes the bikur from the hands of the Bailim, and what does he do with it? Hanocha al-gavim mizbeach. So the Gemara needs now, is compelled to find some sort of something that would convince us to take the mikra out of pshat and interpret as a reference to tnufa, which will free the Rav Elazar ben Azariah to use the second pasuk minachto as a reference to hanocha to teach me hanocha makevus. Asya yad yad mishlamim. Oh, very good. There's a general halach of tnufa in Shlomim. I remember also that in Nazir, in the parish of Nazir, in Nasa, there's also a requirement of Tnufa. And in Shlomim, the Torah uses the word Yad. And we're going to derive from the word Yad in Shlomim that this word Yad, or Yodecha, in Bikurim is also a reference to Tnufa. Ksiv Hachet says here, Bikurim v'lokachko in Atenem Yodech. Ksiv, in Shlomim, in Dvarim Perek Zayin, it says, Yodov, Tivienu Eis, Ishe Hashem, Lahonif, Oso Tnufa. So now we have Xereshova of Yad, Yad. And what does this Xerah Shavah teach us? That Bikurim require Tnufa just like Shlomim require Tnufa. And it's pretty amazing how similar Bikurim is to the mitzvah of Kachim. I mean, offhand, you know, what does Bikurim have to do with Kachim? Kachim is always a behema with Zrikas Adam and Akhtar Simurim and Al Tzdik. Bikurim is something else. You know, I come in front of Hashem, I bring my first fruits, and I thank Hashem with gratitude for taking us out of Mitzrayim and giving us the land, and so forth and so on. Then, but we're wrong about that. I mean, the similarities between Bikurim and other Kachim are very profound. I mean, you need Anocha Gavi Mizbeach, which doesn't apply in any other, in that Trumas Maestras, there's no Dina Mizbeach. And Tnufa, where do you find Tnufa? Imagine Maestras Shani, you bring Maestras Shani to Yerushalayim and start doing Tnufa, they'll call you a lunatic. But Bikurim requires tnufa, and it's derived from a Gzer Shavah to Shlomo. The other to the anyways, Isha Hashem, Lanef also Tnufa. Makan, just like in Bikurim, Kohen. Oh, and you might think that the Tnufa doesn't require a Kohen. After all, Bikurim is my obligation. What does it got to do with the Kohen? His name is Afla Halon, is Kohen. You need a Kohen. The Torah says, V'loka HaKohen Atena Miyodecha. Mala Halon. Bailim. Oh, now there's Halach and Shlomim that you need the Bailim, and they have to do Tnufa. Now, how do we know that the Bailim have to do Tnufa? So the answer is because the pasuk says, "Daber al bnei Yisrael lemar hamakriv es zevach Shlomim Lashem yavi es karbono Lashem mizbach." Shlomov, Yadav Tivienu. So the Yadav Tivienu in Vayikra Zion, which is the parsha of Shlomim, is a reference to the beginning of that same pasuk, which says explicitly Hamakriv es Zevach Shlomov, which is a reference to the Bailim. It's Afkan and Bikurim, you need Bailim. So what do I do here? It's very strange. The pasuk here says Kohen. In Bikurim. Why does Bikurim require Bailim? The answer is Gzeir Shavah to Shlomim, because in Shlomim it's the Bailim have to do the Tnufa. Hakeitz, that's how to reconcile this. And the answer is Meniach Kohen Yodav Tachas Yidei Bailim Umenif. So the Bailim actually pick up the Bikurim, and the Kohen puts his hands underneath the hands of the Bailim. Okay, so this whole discussion here, exactly how they did the Tnufa. Lamaisa, they did the Tnufa slightly differently. There was a Tena, you know, Tena was the Kli that held on to the Bikurim, and they were held on two different sides, one by the Bailim and the other by the Kohen. Yeah, the front, the back, again, we could go into details if we're interested in learning the laws of Tnufa in Bikurim. Omar Rava Bar Ada, Omar Ab Yitzchak. Okay. Now, we're going to turn to Yutes Amin Aleph. And we're going to talk about a Zar. A Zar who's a non-Kohen, who eats Bikurim. Now keep in mind that Bikurim have the same level of Kedusha as Truma. And a Zar who eats Truma is Chayav Misa V'dei Shamayim. And the same thing applies to a Zar who eats Bikurim. At what point is he chayv misa if he's a zar and he eats bikurim? And he says, "Mishiro pnei habayis." Once again, we see, as we saw earlier in the context of Rabbi Lezer, that bringing the fruits into the azara changes, right? Transforms the nature of the fruits, and now it becomes mutav achilo, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and now it is also a zar with an iser misa if the zar eats it.
Makes sense. It's like a rishus thing.
Somehow the rishus of the azara somehow impacts.
It's like being kohen on the because you entered a new rishus.
Yeah, like chatzah, you mean. Yeah. It's like it impacts on the bikurim themselves. There's a long footnote here about the Rambam. Because the Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, claims that you don't have to bring the Bikurim into the Azara in order to transform and upgrade them to the level of Truma with the Isur Zar Misa, but as soon as it enters into Yushalayim, into Chomas Yushalayim. And this might be another reflection of the famous Shittas HaRambam in general, that Yushalayim itself has Kedushas Migdash. But in any event, that he doesn't say here. He points out that the Kesef Mishnah reinterpreted our sugya according to the Rambam. That when our sugya mentions Rias Pnei Abayis, what it means Pnei Bate Ha'ir, not the bias of the Beis Hamikdash, but rather the bias of the city of Yerushalayim, meaning it entered into Chomas Yerushalayim.
Does that mean that people living in Yerushalayim, like, it automatically has that status?
No, I mean that where are their fields? They're in Yerushalayim. No, they're growing stuff in Yerushalayim within the chomos.
Would they have to leave and enter, or like plant it?
I mean, is it a din of knisa or is it a din of havaya? You know that it is in the chomos Yerushalayim. I don't know. Pashtus, I would say, it's a brilliant question. I would say, Pashtus, that it's if it has to be in the Chomos Yerushalayim. I don't know if you have to take it in. Mm. And what's the din of Maaseh Sheni? Maaseh Sheni, for example, if you eat it in Yerushalayim, you have mitzvah to eat it in Yerushalayim, and it's no din that you have to take it into the Chomos Ha'ir. Mm. Or Kachim Kalim are eaten in within the... Yeah, but I'm just saying, I don't know that you have to. It has to come out and go in again. Okay, I don't know. So what do we have? Kiman. This shita, you remember that we quoted on Yud Chesam and Beis in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok, that Bikurim is Bishiyiro Pnei Abayis. Kiman. Ki Haitana. The Sanya we learned in a Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bikurim... Miktsasan bachutz u miktsasan bifnim, shebachutz harein kechulim lechol devrayim, shebifnim harein kehegdish lechol devrayim. So you have a situation in which you actually carry in a kli, which is called in the Lashon HaTorah tenna, and half of the tenna already passed into the again, according to the Rambam, it means into Yerushalayim. According to the other Rishonim, it means into the Azara. It enters into the doors of the Azara. The other half is outside. So the difference would be, when does the Kedushas Bikurim clinch? When is it clinched? And the answer is that those fruits that already passed the borderline, they entered into the Azara, they become sanctified with the Kedushas Bikurim. And therefore, Zara would be Chayv Misa. Those that haven't entered are not.
Because we would have thought it's Chalma entirely.
Ah, excellent. So you're a step ahead of me. But just before we get to you, whether we view the Kli as one entity or not, just before that, the simple shot in the Gemara is that it was Rabbi Eliezer who established that the Kedushas Bikurim, in the full sense, depends upon Bifnim, about entering into the Azara. Horaya, those fruits that are outside, are not considered sanctified by Kedushas Bikurim. Well, so now you get to Aaron's question. So here the Ritva says the following: Hayu bekli echad v'sover ablezer shekli lo machashvan l'dover echad. And he says that ubeshabes tavtzari alfan beis nechluku amuroyim b'zeh. So the Ritva offers two pshatim. In the first pshat, he says that our sugya of Rabbi Lezer is reflecting one opinion in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Aleph, that a kli does not make them all into one. Mm-hmm. It's no get to many, many different halachas, like for example, tzirah chala, right? If you want to put them all in one kli, and now you have enough to be mechayev chala, you have the lam and gimel beitz and whatever it is. But now the Ritva gives a second pshat, Shemeduber b'shnei kelim. So if they're brought in two different kelim, what was the havamina here that you can't split it in two? I mean, one keli went in and one keli stayed out. He says, Shefrishon b'yachad. That the afrosha was one afrosha, and then after the afrosha, he separated them into two kelim. Okay, for that we'd have to, obviously, have to go delve deeply into the laws of Bikurim. Omer Rav Sheshes Bikurim Hanocha Makeves Bohen. So it means that there's no Heter Achilas HaBikurim till after Hanocha. That's the sheet that we saw in the name of Rav Shimon, and possibly in the name of Rav Hoshaya. Let's just go back to Rav Hoshaya for a second. What did Rav Hoshaya say? Oh, Rav Hoshaya said that if he was mafrish before the chag, and now there's no possibility of eating it because the chag passed, is then you can't eat it and you rock for it. So that's as far as Hanoch is concerned. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. What did I do here? Forget about Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya is not relevant to us because Rav Hoshaya is not talking about Kriya. Because, I'm sorry, Rav Hoshai is talking about Kriya, and Rav Shimon is talking about Kriya, Rav Sheshis is talking about Hanocha. So this is the second issue that we had, the Machlok Shrin, Rav Yehuda Chachamim, whether or not it's sufficient to bring them into the Azorah, or you need to place them on Gavi Mizbeach. So Rav Sheshis says, Bikurim Hanocha Makevus Bahem, like the Chachamim of Rav Yehuda, and Kriya Ein Makevus Bahem, like the Chachamim of Rav Shimon. Kiman. Now the one who's talking here, that's what all the Mefarshim point out, is Rav Sheshis himself. Usually Kiman is the Gemara's analyzing a previous statement, but here it's Rav Sheshis who didn't get a chance to finish his statement. And he says the following. Ki hai tana. I'm reflecting the following tana. The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Yossi, Omer, Shloshet Dvar Mishum, Shloshet Zkenim. Rav Yossi brought three different halachas as three respective traditions in the name of three different tannaim. And the one that we're focused on is the statement of Rav Yishmael. Rav Yishmael Omer, and now we're shifting our mindset for a moment to Maaser Sheni. You know that Maaser Sheni, of course, has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. But the question is, what's the status of Maaser Sheni Bizman Hazeh that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash? So for example, if you would talk to me about other things that need Yerushalayim, because they need Mikdash, then I understand that you cannot fulfill those mitzvahs without the Beis HaMikdash. But in the case of Maaser Sheni, we don't need Beis HaMikdash, we need Yerushalayim. Correct? Yachol, I might have a Havmina, it makes absolute sense that in our day, if you were to be mafresh Maaser Sheni, you could bring it to Yerushalayim and you could eat it, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. What changes here after the Churban HaBayis? Nothing should change, because Maaser Sheni is not connected to the Mizbeach. Maaser Sheni is just connected simply to Yerushalayim. And the sanctity of Yerushalayim remains intact. Okay, the Gemara apparently is assuming now that Kitchel Shaita and Kitchel Asid Lavo, meaning that even after the Churban HaBayis, Yerushalayim is still Bikdushasa, and therefore let him eat the Maaser Sheni, like he would do, even if, just as if the Mikdash stood. So he says, no, it's not like that. You cannot eat Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh. Why not? Dinhu. Because of an equation between Maaser Sheni and Bechor. Okay, let's think. We're going to have to think about this. Bechor ton havos makom. The Bechor has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Maaser Sheni ton havos makom. Maaser Sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim. Ma bechor eino elo b'fnei habayis. Bechor can only be eaten when the Beis HaMikdash stands. Af maaser eino elo b'fnei habayis. So Rabosai, honestly, this is the strangest Gemara I've ever seen. What does Bechor have to do with Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni needs Yerushalayim and only Yerushalayim. So you could vacillate back and forth whether Yerushalayim is dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim is an entity unto itself. Bechor needs is a karma that has to be brought on the Mizbeach. There's no Mizbeach, there's no Bechor, there's no bias because it's after the Churban. So how can you talk about Bechor Bizman Hazeh? I can talk about any kardship as mine. I said there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Mizbeach. This whole analogy makes no sense. In fact, Rashi in Masechta Tmura, where the Gemara identically quotes this statement, Bechor Eino Ela B'fnei Abayis, Rashi says, Shareton Matan Domim Ve'murim L'gabi Mizbeach. Bechor is kodshim that has to be shechted on the Mizbeach with Zrikas Adam and Akhtar Sayimurim. So therefore it needs the bias. What does this have to do with Maisa Sheni? I don't know. So the Gemara says the following. Ma'alib Bechor, what raya can you bring, what analogy can you bring from Bechor? Shekein ton matan dom v'emurim l'gav mizbeach. So what does that prove as far as Maisa Sheni is concerned? So the Gemara says, Nein, the requirement of Beis HaMikdash has nothing to do with Matan Domim Al Gabim Mizbech. I'll prove it to you. Bikurim Yochichu. Bikurim have no din of Matan Domim, no din of Haktar Seimurim, and yet you require bias. Why do we require bias? The Gemara here doesn't spell it out, but Rashi spells it out elsewhere. Masech Tzvachon, the Pasuk says, right here in Pasuk Dalid, Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Meaning that Bikurim requires Mizbeach. And if there's no bias, there's no Mizbeach and there's no Bikurim.
But in the Rambam's reading, Mizbeach was your tone, no?
Say it again, that Mizbeach was? I didn't hear the last word in your sense.
Home, no? Wasn't that what we said, that the Rambam's view is that it wasn't the Mizbeach, but your own home? Am I confusing?
Oh, you're talking... No. The Rambam Shita that we mentioned before was, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that as far as Bikurim are concerned, in order to be Mater Achila, all you need is entering into Rias Pnei HaBayis. The Rambam said it means the Batim of Yerushalayim. It doesn't mean the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not what we're discussing. I mean, even the Rambam agrees that the mitzvah Bikurim is Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokech. Nobody can deny that. You need Anocha. Again, whether Anocha Makeves or not is a different issue, but you definitely need a mitzvah Anocha. So there's no question in anyone's mind that Bikurim is connected to the Mizbeach and therefore ipso facto to the Beis HaMikdash. After the Churban, there's no Bikurim. However, in the case of Maaseh Sheni, where you don't have any requirement, any connection to the Mizbeach, then one could argue, ostensibly one could argue that even Bisman Hazeh without the Beis HaMikdash, Maaseh Sheni is in effect. Right? It's active. So it's very strange. The Gemara rejects any analogy between Maaseh Sheni and Bechor because Bechor requires Mizbeach. And then the Gemara says, but I'll prove it to you because Bechor requires Rikas Domim Al Gam Mizbeach. I'll prove it to you from Bikurim. Bikurim requires Beis HaMikdash and it doesn't have any din of Haktaras Imurim or Zrikas Adam. Yeah, but the answer is there's Halach of Hanoch Al Gabi Mizbeach. And that's exactly what the Gemara is going to argue here. We could have written the text. I mean, because it's logical. Mala Bikurim Shekein to Unim Hanocha. Bikurim are connected to Mizbeah. So what does that have to do with Maaseh Sheni? But rather, the Gemara says that let's start from scratch. We don't derive Maaseh Sheni from Bechor or from Bikurim. But rather, Talmud Lomar is a pasuk. What does the pasuk says? We've seen this pasuk many times. It says "V'achaltu lifnei Hashem Elokecha," and there it says "Maser degoncha." Maser is specifically mentioned, and then it says "Ubechoros bekarecha." Bechor is mentioned. So in the same pasuk, the Torah says "Maser and Bechor." Makish Maser lebechor. Ma Bechor eno elo lifnei abayis af Maser, meaning Maser sheni eno elo lifnei HaBayis. Now, again, this brisa, the statement of Rav Shimon, with his derivation from the pasuk in Re'eh, is a very fascinating topic as far as the laws of Maaseh Sheni is concerned. But keep in mind, this whole thing was only quoted in order to determine when does Bikurim become mutter. What's the matir for Achilas HaBikurim? And somehow from this Rav Shimon, we want to derive the conclusion that Hanocha Ma'akeves, but Ein Kriya Ma'akeves. Oh. So the Gemara of him, Isa, Lifrach, Ma'al HaBikurim, Shekein Te'unim, Kriya V'Hanocha. Why is it that if you read carefully the statement, the presentation of Rabbi Shmuel, he doesn't mention Kriya. All he does is mention Hanocha. He wants to show you that Bikurim is different. Because the mitzvah Bikurim requires Hanocha, whereas Maaseh Sheni doesn't require Hanocha. Why did he stop short and mention Hanocha, he should have gone even further and mentioned Kriya. In other words, the entire proof of this Gemara is based not on what Rav Shimon says, but on the omission, what he doesn't say. He did not mention Kriya. Now, I'm not sure how to read this Gemara. The reason why Rav Shimon doesn't mention Kriya Lechor is because Kriya is irrelevant. We want to know about Churban Abayis. Does Churban Abayis completely undermine the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni? What's it got to do with the fact that Bikurim has a mitzvah of Kriya? I don't know that that should be relevant. That's why I think this Gemara is talking about a technicality here. When you want to derive a Kal V'Chomer from something, and then you want to create a Pircha of the Kal V'Chomer because the Molamed has unique dinim, so you should have listed all the unique dinim. But logically, in the issue that we're addressing here head on as to whether Maaser Sheni is Noig B'Zman Hazeh after the Churban, L'Chora Kriya is irrelevant. But the Gemara is going to reject this for a whole different reason. Notice everything until now was Rav Sheshes. Now Rav Ashi takes over. Omar Rav Ashi turns to Rav Sheshes and he says, wait a minute. You yourself have to ask this question. You yourself haven't given an answer to calm us down as to why Rabbi Shmuel omitted Kriya. The Hiti Kuvaleka. Even if you are right, Rav Sheshes, that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Kriya is not ma'akev, but mitzvah mileka. I mean, the whole parasha of Arami and Ovid Ovid is certainly a mitzvah to bring Bikurim and recite the parasha of Arami and Ovid Ovid. Is lema mitzvah v'lifroch? In the pircha itself, he should have mentioned that Bikurim is unique because it has a mitzvah of Kriya. Whether or not Kriya is ma'akev is irrelevant. But if you want to show us the distinctions between Bikurim and other mitzvahs, you should have mentioned that Kriya engenders a mitzvah of Kriya. Whether Kriya is absolutely indispensable or not is a different question. El Amar Rav Ashi says no. There's a whole other reason why Rabbi Shmuel omitted Kriya. And has nothing to do with the fact, as you would have it, Rav Sheshes, because Kriya ain't a makeves. But Kavan de'ika Bikuria ger, Bikurim doesn't always require Kriya. I'll give you a case where there is no Kriya Bikurim. Notice this Bryce is only going to give you cases that are absolute. Every Bikurim requires Hanocha, but not every Bikurim requires Kriya. The case of Bikuria ger, where the ger came into the fold, he cannot recite the Parsha of Arami Oved Ovi. The boy Lemeimar in the parashat says, Ki bosi el oretz asher nishba Hashem lavoseinu, lo motzi omar. The ger can't say that, God, you promised this land to our forefathers. That he can't say, because his forefathers were not Jewish. His keva, and now the Gemara says, lo psikol, since it's not absolute, therefore he drops the ball on Kriya, and he only mentions Hanocha. Notice, as far as Ger is concerned, there's no difference. As far as Hanoch is concerned, there's no difference between a Yisrael and a Ger. The difference between Yisrael and a Ger is only as far as what? As far as Kriya. I was just curious here. I didn't find anyone who asked this question. Why the Gemara didn't mention Isha? A woman is also excluded from Kriya Saparsha. So I don't know why he dafka stretches his arm out to Ger.
Rav Sheshes is saying, you know, I think that that Rabbi Shmuel is the guy who really believes this in terms of he's trying to find the Tanaic source for it.
So he believes that what? That Hanocha and Kriya are two different halachas. Kriya is only a mitzvah, right?
So Rav Ashi makes a good point, but Rav Sheshes could counter.
Yeah.
So what? In other words, he's trying to say, I believe that this that Rabbi Shmuel is the Tana. Okay, I can't prove it. Okay, still seems like a pretty good source. He doesn't need to prove it. I suppose the better answer is
maybe
earlier, better tonight.
Usually, when you say Kevan ki Haitana means I saw it in the Brisa, you know.
Yeah, but Rabbi Shmuel can be like, look, this is the Brisa. This is how I learned it. This is my tradition. What do you want from me? It's not, I can't prove it? Okay, look, I have a tradition.
Okay. Let's see the next piece of Gemara, because we're not finished with this sugya yet. Frekta Gemara, vili heder dina. Now, let's understand that Rabbi Shmuel, from the get-go, wanted to derive from an equation between Bechor and Maaser Sheni that Maaser Sheni requires Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, nein, that there's no proof, there's no analogy to Bechor, because Bechor requires Matan Damim and Emurim. Then the Gemara says that, Rabbi Shmuel says, what about Bikurim? Bikurim doesn't have any din of Matan Damim, and yet it requires Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Liheder Dina. Now that phrase, Liheder Dina, is what we call a Tzad HaShav. Notice, if A can't prove your conclusion because of one reason, and B doesn't have that reason, so B could prove that conclusion, but B has another reason why you can't prove the conclusion, but that doesn't appear in A, then we can combine forces of A plus B, and we can derive C. That's called the Liheder Dina. In other words, if you're going to tell me that Bechor is not a good proof because Maktar Simurim, then I'll tell you, Bikurim Yochichu. And if you're going to tell me Bikurim is not a proof, because Bikurim has a din of Hanocha and so on, then I can quote Bechor. In other words, each one has a Chumra. Bechor has a Chumra, and Bikurim has a Chumra, but it's not the same Chumra. Ein chumraso shel zeh, ki chumraso shel zeh. Is tasi b'me'atzad. Why don't we derive Maaser Sheni from an equation between, let's join forces, a partnership between Bechor and Bikurim. And just like in Bechor, you don't require havas makom, and just like in Bikurim, you don't require haktaras haimurim, and yet both of them cannot be eaten bizman hazeh. So through Maaser Sheni, even though it requires havas makom, there's no mitzvah without the bias. There's no achilas bikurim without the bias. So why then is Rabbi Shmuel compelled to introduce this hekesh in the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, where the Torah says both Maaser and Bechor in the same pasuk? Why not just derive it from a bameh hatzad? So the Gemara answers, Bishum de ikla mifrach malatzad shavishmem shekein yesh behem tzad mizbeach. Beautiful. That even if you tell me that this chumra is not like that and that chumra is not like that, but they both have one common chumra that separate themselves completely from Maaser Sheni, because both of them have a tzad mizbeach. Okay then, so the only question is, I know we're going overtime, so if you guys have to go, I don't want to keep you, but if we have 5 more minutes, we'll complete the sugya, so that next time we can start with the whole new sugya. The Gemara says, my kasav, what was Rabbi Shmuel thinking? In other words, it was simple to Rabbi Shmuel that a Bechor has no relevance today after the Churban. Maaser Sheni, he wasn't sure about it. He was vacillating. Ika Sava Kedusha Rishona Kinshul Shaita V'Kinshul Asid Lavo. No, it's the Beis HaMikdash, once it was sanctified by Shlomo HaMelech. It has an eternal Kedusha. Is then, I don't understand, Afilu Bechor Nami. Even Bechor you should be able to bring on the Mizbeach in the Makom HaMikdash, even without the Mikdash. I don't need the Mechitzos of the Mikdash in order to bring a Karma. Because Kishlo Shaita V'Kishlo Asid Lava. So this doesn't make any sense. He assumes without any question that Bechor cannot be brought Bizman Hazeh. Oh, so what are you going to say by process of elimination? Kosovar, Kiddush Rishon, Kiddush Shaita V'Lo Kishlo Asid Lava. It means that after Churban, the Kiddush of Mikdash is gone. And yet in the case of Maaser, he has a Safek. Why does he have a Safek? Because maybe you don't need the Beis HaMikdash, and you could eat it in Yerushalayim even without the Beis HaMikdash, meaning even though Kedushas Mikdash is gone, but Kedushas Yerushalayim still persists as a separate entity, and therefore maybe Maaser Sheni could apply even Bizman Hazeh in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that doesn't make any sense, because if so, Afilu Bechor Nami Tibo, he should have had the same identical suffering in Bechor. And what case in Bechor are we talking about? So this is what Rashi and Tos explained. Let's say that you don't need Zrikas Dam anymur on Gabi Mizbeah. For example, before the Churban Abayis, they brought the Bechar, they shechted it, they were Makabal the Dam, they were Zorik the Dam, they were Makhtar the Imurim, and now what you're left with is the rest, the remainder, the balance of the Bechar. Can I eat that Basar? And the answer is, if there's Kedushas Yerushalayim, I should be able to eat the Basar. There's no possibility of doing the Zrik on the Mizbech. That I did already before the Churban Abayis. Om Ravino Liolam, Kosovic Kedushas Lashait, Kitchel Shaita, the low kitchel loyasid lava. Vahacha, but what's the case in which he finds a hekesh from Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, between Maisa Shani and Bechar? The Bechar shed Nizrak domo kodem churban abayis, Vecharev abayis, Vadayan besoro kayom, Umakshinon besoro ledomo. The premise of Rabbi Shmuel is that there's an equation between the dam and the basar. What does it say in the Parsha Bechar? The Parsha Bechor Bamidbar Yuches says, "As domam tizrok al mizbeach ubesaram yielach." So in the Reisha, in one pasuk it speaks about zrikas adam, and the other pasuk it speaks about the achilas habasar. Ma domo bimizbeach af besaro bimizbeach. Now, what does that mean? Besaro bimizbeach. You're not eating the basar on the mizbeach. You're not standing on the mizbeach. But the answer is that the basar can only be eaten at a time, at a moment in time, which is royal zrikas dam al gami mizbeach, not after the churban. And now Rabbi Shmuel wants to go a step further, and he wants to be makish meiser lebechar. The Torah in Parshas A equates the two. Just like bechar requires mizbeach because of the equation between basar and dam, so too meiser sheni requires the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says, I don't get it. How do you know that you can't eat the basar of bechar after churban if the zrika was done before the churban? You know that from a hekesh between basar and dam. Now you want to establish a second hekesh and equate maisa sheni to bechar. We have a principle in kodshim that something that's derived from a hekesh can no longer be melamed something else in another hekesh. So the Gemara answers, maser dagon chulin hu. No, it's maiser sheni is not considered like kodshim because it has no relation to the mizbeach. And with regard to chulin, the principle is that you can be makish something and then go ahead and derive it from another hekesh. Ha nichol amad yomar lamad basa lamad aslinon. El amad yomar basa lamad aslinon ma'ikol amemar. But there are two opinions as to whether or not the nilmad, you know, that which is derived, which is called the lamed in the Gemara's language, that determines whether you can take one hekesh and add another hekesh and pile onto a keshim. And therefore, since the lamed is chulin, that's the case of Maaser Sheni, then it's good. But there's another man here who says basa melamed aslinon, and the melamed here is bechar, which is kodshim, and therefore, in kodshim, we have a rule that you can't derive something from a hekesh and then spring forward with another hekesh, Michael and Meimar. So the Gemara answers, "Dam ubasar chada milsehi," which means that we don't assume that the derivation of basar from dam is a hekesh, but rather it's davar echad, it's one thing. It's not a hekesh; it's just a gili milsa that whatever the Torah said about dam is applicable to basar as well. And just like dam requires clearly the mizbeach, so too the basar requires mizbeach. So when the pasuk says as domam tizrok and then basar mielcha, it's not a hekesh between the two. It's just telling you that just like dam requires mizbeach, so too basar requires royal mizbeach as opposed to liachar churban. Okay, we'll stop here. So next time, here's Hashem, we know that we can start a brand new sugi. If you can make a note of it somehow, I'll make a note of it too. That this is where we are up to. Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Okay, so we really learned. How much did we cover today? More or less, we covered. Where do we start today? We started on Yud Ches Amud Beis, am I right?
Hold on. One more.
Okay, good. Now, keep in mind that very soon, we're going to hit Agadita. Well, actually, not so soon. We have first the Sugya of Karcha. Well, that's a fascinating Sugya, you know, about cutting your payas and all that. Karcha, you know, the lav of Karcha, all the laws of Karcha, what you're allowed to cut, what you're not allowed to cut, are here in Makis, at the end of Masechta Makis. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick that up next time.